This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
We're 20 minutes away from Jonah Heim as we open hour number two of the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Rangers catcher, World Series champ, going to join us here for the Rangers Player Show. Here's Wolchuk with your NFL news of the day.
All right, so we got some new names here. Well, really just one new name, but just more details on the Cowboys' 30 visits. Shefty had Ohio State wide receiver Mike Egbuka. He's visiting today and Tuesday with the Green Bay Packers. He spent Friday and Saturday visiting with the Cowboys, so hopefully that visit went well. We've got Will Johnson, the corner from Michigan. He is going to work out for NFL teams next Monday, 10 a.m. in Ann Arbor, now that he's fully healed from a hamstring injury.
Good for him. There you go.
So hopefully he runs.
Get the time
there.
There we go.
Because that, I mean, all of a sudden, if he runs well, now it's like, all right, well, we're going to feel maybe a little differently about you.
Yeah.
And then Mike Garofolo reporting Georgia edge, Michael Williams, who is a consensus first-round pick, currently touring the NFC West, visited with the 49ers yesterday in Seattle today. He's going to head to Arizona tomorrow, and he's also visited with the Cowboys, the Patriots, the Jets, Bucks, and Saints. So that's another player that we didn't know for sure had visited with the Cowboys, but now we do, thanks to Mike Garofolo. So Michael Williams, the edge out of Georgia, another 30 visit that we can mark off there,
baby. Yeah, that's Mimbu from Missouri is a visit.
Okay.
I didn't know if we talked about that.
No, we haven't. We have not.
And Pierce from Tennessee, the edge, a visit as well.
So, yeah, today I saw it was Nick Harris and several others were talking about James Pierce. And that makes sense because Pierce, I mean, one of the premier pass rushers in this class. I worry about his ability to set the edge and defend the run, but certainly he's got a rare traits when it comes to being able to bend the speed off the edge. But
yeah,
he's apparently got a lot of off the field stuff.
There's some stuff you need to sit down and talk with him about.
Yes. So important to meet with him. That might be a guy that falls out of the first round. That could end up being a 44 Randy Gregory type situation there for the Cowboys as well. So getting a lot of new information as we get closer and closer to draft time. Daniel Jeremiah does an excellent job with the NFL Network. Used to be a scout in the league, was with the Philadelphia Eagles. He was on Yahoo Sports, and he recently had mocked Matthew Golden, the wide receiver out of Texas, to the Cowboys, and he explained that decision.
But I got a lot of grief when I had Matthew Golden going to the Dallas Cowboys with the 12th pick. And for me, it just, first of all, they need some excitement and some juice here, and I think he can bring that. I think he's a perfect complement to CeeDee Lamb. With what he can do, he can get over the top. He can create some more space. I think I've had arguments with GMs about this. Some GMs don't think he's and you've looked at him too, so I'll get your take on it. They kind of dinged him on route running, and I'm like, I have no concerns. I don't have concerns with his route running at all. Now there's some stuff he can clean up and polish a little bit, but I didn't see anything that was limiting in terms of, you know, of the tightness that bothered me at all. And I think he's somebody that stays, you know, feet in the ground through the catch. He's got really, really strong, reliable hands. And then on top of that, I got somebody that can really track the ball down the field and go get it. So I thought he would be a good compliment to CeeDee Lamb.
I agree with DJ there in terms of I think he is a good route runner. He creates a lot of separation. Yeah.
He can sell routes. I've seen him take corners, and even before we knew he was running in the 4.29s, that you could see corners that play against him are terrified of his speed.
He puts a lot of pressure on you.
So what happens is he's closing cushion, and then he breaks.
Yeah.
And now you're left like trying to catch your breath to try and get to him. I think he does a great job of selling routes. Like he's like the go, and he's pushing, and then he'll just break back downhill or break down to the quarterback. You know, the comeback routes and stuff like that. I don't see a bad route runner here. I really, really don't.
Well, that's encouraging then, because, I mean, there's no question the need for an explosive weapon.
Yeah.
And multiple, really. But yeah. This is a good place to start. If he checks all the other boxes off of being a legit wide receiver, that speed factor is huge right now. They have a huge void there other than Turpin.
They do. And his ability to break without losing momentum.
Pivot. He is.
Golden's
the
a really
hands are sure.
The yeah. hands are strong. I mean, my big question is, like, what? He's never a 1,000-yard receiver in college. Just weird. Like, the production wasn't quite as good as the player to me is.
This is all happening because of that final four-game stretch, right? That playoff stretch for him was just
dynamic. I think there's a lot of people that, like, got on the tape with him late and started, you know, if you watch the playoff games, they're outstanding. But, you know, throughout the season, I mean, he made some plays in the Michigan game. I think that was the second game of the year and stuff. So, you know, if you kind of go back and watch his history this season, there's signs of him being a very, very productive receiver. But you got to those playoff games when it really, really mattered, and Quinn Ewers was looking for him.
Yeah.
Everybody was talking about Bond. Throw the ball to Bond. Bond was, I'm like, who's this number two making all the plays? That was golden.
Yep.
You know, when Bond was falling apart and jumping for balls that he didn't have to, and they're banging off his chest. This kid was making plays. Maybe the quarterback play, too, wasn't as always favorable for this guy.
I know Texas fans feel like, man, Golden would have put up way better numbers. Ewers was kind of holding it all back.
Yeah, and that's totally fair. I mean, I feel like Burden has a little bit of that last year, too, because he was open down the field, and there was just a disconnect with his quarterback play, and there was injuries last year at Mizzou. So I think quarterback play probably was a big reason he had a down year last year compared to the season before as well. Now, Howie Roseman's always one of these guys. You got to keep an eye on the damn Eagles, and it's annoying from a perspective of an NFC East rival. Here was Adam Schefter talking about Howie, and is he about to do this crap again in the draft?
Because I will guarantee you right now, we're going to get a trade or two out of the Philadelphia Eagles. I don't know for who, I don't know for what, I don't know when it'll happen. But they ain't going to make 20 picks in the next two drafts. That ain't happening, okay? So the question is how they're going to allocate their draft resources, how they're going to move around, who they're going to add, but they will be moving and shaking as they usually do in Philadelphia.
I don't know if it's a player. They traded a first-round pick for A.J. Brown a couple years ago. Worked out pretty darn well there.
What a bold move, though, for Schefter to say the team with 20 picks over the next 2 years might flip a couple.
Might end up
because he's still right even when they swap a fifth and a sixth or whatever.
That's true. It is a very broad statement. I don't know for what. I don't know for who. But they're not picking 20 times in the next 2 years.
They might
pick because they're going to have all the contracts and stuff. They
might need to fill out the rest of that roster.
Might need some help.
Schefter on with the Morning Boys tomorrow.
Yes. Tomorrow, looking forward to Adam Schefter. Hopefully he's giving us some awesome juicy draft nugs. Now, speaking of those nugs, here's what the plan is for the Cleveland Browns. They were to draft Travis Hunter. You ready for this, Brian Broaddus?
Go ahead.
Here is Andrew Berry, their general manager. In terms of Travis Hunter, corner or receiver? The answer is yes. He can play both, and I think that is what makes him special, but we would see him as a receiver primarily first, but I think what makes him a bit of a unicorn is that he can do both at a high level. So wide out first. And honestly, this is a team that doesn't need a whole lot of corner help right now because you've got Denzel Ward, you've got Greg Newsome, you've got Emerson Jr.
Wait a minute, we're trading Greg Newsome, aren't we, according to our guy up there? Any part of the DAC
yeah,
package?
Bruce Drennan. Oh, yeah, that's true.
Well, yeah. If you're right. Maybe they don't have a corner.
Yeah.
Maybe because they've got Dak throwing to Travis Hunter, and then they'll need Travis Hunter to play corner because of Newsom's gun. That's a great point, guys. You're right, 100%.
Big question is, do they have a punt returner? Am I right, Walt?
Yeah, or a kick returner.
Yeah.
You know? I don't know. They might not have one of those, Brian. They might not.
They might not.
And if you don't need him at corner, What do you say? Yeah. What do you know? But that would be they could use a playmaking wide receiver next to Jerry Jeudy.
They absolutely could. I think if somebody were to work him at just one position, there's a lot of people that were critical of that workout he had in Colorado. That was he really running routes?
Some of those routes were hilarious.
Yeah, it's like
he was kind of screwing around a little bit.
I think it was one of those things, and people are saying that it was such a late addition that he was going to work out that they threw that thing together. And maybe they were trying to show his elite quickness, you know, off the line and stuff like that. But there's people in the league that like saying, what routes were we running there? You know, we didn't really get anything out of that. And I was like, why don't you just watch the tape and you could see the routes? And they're like, okay, right. Smart ass, yeah. You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Well, Travis Hunter, I mean, I do believe either way he's going to be awesome. But I'd like to see if he can pull off this two-way thing. If he can't, all right. But for Cleveland, man, that's a place where like a really good football player could go and be wasted, like with Myles Garrett. And I hope that does not happen to Travis Hunter. Rooting for the best for him. Now, Kyle Shanahan said today that Christian McCaffrey, fully healthy, all right? He's doing great. But at the same time, we're going to take a running back this year. We're prepared for that, and you hope to address it every single year. They did trade Jordan Mason to Minnesota. They took Isaac Grendo from Louisville in the fourth round last year. They also brought back Patrick Taylor, who is another veteran piece. Now, why is this of note? Well, the Niners are right ahead of you in the draft order. So you look at the Cowboys being a team that wants to take a running back. If they don't do it in the first round, second round, third round, you got to kind of pay attention to the Niners here, who all of a sudden might also be interested in a running back. And could they go ahead and pick your guy right before you're on the clock?
Absolutely. You got to be aware of that. Maybe it forces you to trade up a couple of picks
maybe
there in the third round or something like that. But until the Niners take a running back, you can't rest.
No, screw them. Okay, this was, we talked a little bit during the owners' meetings about this, but the playoff format change. So the NFL is actually, right now they've tabled the conversations, but there's three legitimate offers that are on the table for next year when it comes to the playoff format. If the Lions' approval goes through, the seven teams in each conference would still consist of four division champs, three wildcard teams. However, the big change is that the teams would be seeded by who has the best record, okay? So you're still automatically in if you win your division, but it doesn't mean that you're going to be hosting a playoff game. It all depends on the record. So last year, for instance, it would have been Lions, Eagles, Bucks, Rams, Vikings, Commanders, Packers. Those would have been your seven seeds in the NFC. This year, if they were to change this moving forward, it would have been a situation where, like, the Cowboys, who were going on the road playing Tampa Bay a few years ago, they'd ended up getting to host that game even though Tampa Bay won the division. Now, they do have a modified version of this, which the NFL might choose to lean with. You can't get every team to agree on the rule change. That's when you start to compromise. You have the modifications. You end up saying, unless you finish with a losing record, the division winner that finishes with a losing record is now unable to host a playoff game. If you're 9-8, cool, whatever. But if you're 8-9 like Tampa was, or you're 7-9 like Seattle was several years back when Marshawn Lynch did the hold my D, you know, then you're not hosting a playoff game. So if that were the case, it would only have been utilized, I think, four times over the last 25 years. So this would be one where NFL owners would be like, okay, I mean, the odds of this happening, it's not high, but you probably shouldn't be rewarded with a home game if you have a losing record and you won your division. So maybe that's where we compromise on this.
Yeah, you know, the whole division thing, I think it's outdated. You don't need it anymore. So I would be looking for ways to minimize it. You have the history and the tradition of those rivalries, but I'd be much more interested in a balanced schedule. It's just too lopsided. Teams are facing such different difficulty levels throughout the 17 games, and it's really unnecessary. Well, Chuck, and I think the divisions are a part of the problem.
Well, Major League Baseball has had success with that the last 2 years, moving to the more balanced schedule.
Yeah.
Maybe that is something. I mean, we do have some excellent rivalries in the league, but you're right. I mean, it can be a huge benefit if you're in a division that just stinks. There's six games in that division.
You know, there's seven playoff spots that are up for grabs, and I don't think I should be punished just because my, you know, historical rivals happen to be going through, you know, banner seasons.
Sure.
I'm still good, right? Let me get in this thing. And, you know, I absolutely shouldn't have to go on the road to play a team that's flipping 7-10 because they played with dumpster fires.
No. We got another basketball player going to try his hand at playing tight end.
Oh, okay. When is the last time we saw? Was Jimmy Graham the last one we saw really doing this?
Well, probably the last one that was good, I would say. We had, what was it, Rico Gathers?
Yeah.
Baylor.
Oh, that's
he was drafted. Yeah, he was drafted. Yeah.
They tried that out. The Carolina Panthers, though, they're taking a flyer on a rookie center, basketball center, that is, as they signed Coastal Carolina's Colin Granger, who's going to make the transition to tight end. He's 6'9", 235 pounds. This past year, he averaged 7 points, four boards a game. He's a Georgia native. And he started at Western Carolina, then transferred to Coastal Carolina. So he's joining a tight end room with Tommy Tremble, who broke out last year, Texas' Jatavion Sanders, who they drafted a year ago. They've still got Jordan Matthews. You remember Jordan Matthews, former wide receiver of the Eagles?
Yeah.
He's sticking around, and he's made the transition to tight end to prolong his career. Yeah, that's freaking nuts. It is. That's amazing. But it is not unheard of. I mean, Gates, Tony Gonzalez, Jimmy Graham, there's been a lot of success with this.
But at this size, though, at 6'9", I mean, this dude's going to have to put some weight on. And I love the idea of a 5'10 Bryce Young throwing a touchdown to a 6'9", whatever the hell this guy's name is.
Oh, my goodness. We got to get side-by-sides with him and Bryce Young.
That would have to be the largest height discrepancy from a pass to a touchdown reception from quarterback to receiver.
They got to stand back to back, man. We got to get photos of this.
5'10 to 6'9.
6'9. We're like, whoo, that's awesome.
That would be Drew Brees to Jimmy Graham, right?
Well, Graham was like 6'6.
Oh, was he that?
Maybe 6'7. And Brees, I think, is listed at 6 foot.
Right around there.
Yeah.
And then the last thing here, Stephon Diggs is going to wear number 8 for New England. I don't know. For whatever, like, I'm just looking at the picture here. Just
that many teams he's been with?
Not a wide receiver number?
Looks weird to me.
Lamar Jackson's about to come for him, dude.
Yeah.
You can't wear
Watch
number 8.
They
got a lawsuit for you.
Bill Jr. showing up.
I don't, it just doesn't look right.
That's a goofy one right there.
He's a number 8. Yeah, it doesn't work for me. But we'll see. Maybe once he's out there playing, running around, it'll change.
Thank you, Woolchuck. Next segment on the back half, we'll have chance for the C-Note Cowboys news of the evening. But Rangers catcher Jonah Heim is set to join you next. It's the G-Bag Nation.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
In the fan. All right, here we go. Welcome back on your home of the Rangers. It's time for the Rangers Player Show. Today featuring Jonah Heim, Rangers catcher, World Series champion. Segments brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car, truck, wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. With Franklin Frankel, there's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. The go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. It is the Frankels. And segments brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. Here's Jonah, the Rangers Player Show, brought to you by Globe Life. For over 125 years, Globe Life has helped protect families when they need it most. Globe Life, make tomorrow better. Yeah, one of the most clutch hitters in baseball. I think OPS with runners in scoring position over the last 3 years, he's like 28th in the game.
Yes, sir.
Walk-off game-winning hit Sunday as catcher Jonah Heim joins you now on the Fan. Afternoon, sir. How the heck are you?
Hey, guys. Good. How are you?
Oh, we're doing good, man. We were feeling for you last night watching the game on television. What's that like playing in that kind of cold?
Yeah, it's a little different than being under the roof in Globe Life, but both teams got to play through it, so we just got to find a way to stay warm. And luckily, I got to DH last night, so I spent most of my time in the cage staying warm. But, yeah, we're acclimated and we're ready to go tonight.
It never bothers a guy from Buffalo, right? That's a spring day for you, right?
Yeah, it's a nice summer day back home.
Yeah.
You know what I was wondering about with the catchers? Because you got to get in that squat. Like, for a guy like me, getting in that squat takes some energy. So that would warm me up, you know? But I wondered for you guys, is it so easy because you've been doing it for so long that that's just like sitting on a chair? What do you say?
Yeah, that's pretty normal for us. It's we like to joke around and say that's more comfortable than just standing up. So when we're tired or fatigued, that's the stance we like to get into.
How do you like playing at Wrigley?
It's cool. Whenever you get a chance to come to the historic ballparks around the country, it's pretty special. So not my first time. I've been here. I think I joked this morning that I don't think I've ever played a game above 40 degrees here since I've played here. But no, it's awesome. You get to experience the culture and the history that it is. So it's a lot of fun.
You got another walk-off the other night. You've got 5 career walk-offs. Do you have them ranked? Do you have a favorite one?
Not really. I mean, each one's pretty special in its own right. Obviously, the one last year on opening day is pretty special. And I know the one when I had back-to-back walk-off homers on back-to-back nights, it's pretty special because it kind of sets history and it doesn't happen often. But and honestly, any way I can just help this team win, it's special to me and try to keep it going.
Do you feel more dialed in those big moments? Are you more present? What do you think is the key for you having this success in these huge moments?
I think you try to, in those situations, you try to keep it as normal as possible. And obviously it's heightened. It's you want one swing and the game's over and you're a hero, but you just try not to do too much. I feel like if you go out there and try to hit an 800-foot homer, then results aren't going to be in your favor. So I just try to keep it simple, try to stay within myself and just play the game.
Maybe even more impressive than the walk-off, though, was that stolen base you had. I mean, goodness gracious, Jonah, showing off the wheels.
I know. Must have been a good offseason. Did a couple extra sprints. And we've had the mindset all year of being aggressive on the bases and trying to create chaos. So got a good tip from the first base coach and took advantage of it.
Hey, Jonah, we've seen, you know, you've played every game that you could play as far as, you know, being behind the plate and the number of games in a row. But physically and maybe mentally, you know, having Higgy there now with you, is that kind of, in a way, you look at it as, man, this helps me a little bit, as opposed to, hey, I've got to go out there and I'm taking foul tips and having to do all this and that. Does having him with you kind of put your mind at ease a little bit?
Yeah, it's been great. We've built a great relationship, and it's good. The games that I'm not in there playing, I don't have to worry about maybe going in to pinch hit or to catch because he's solid offensively and defensively. So it's kind of like a 1A, 1B situation where sure. there's not one starter and one backup. We're both capable of going out there and playing every day and we just take it as whoever gets that opportunity to play that day, we're gonna give it our all and help this team win.
Jonah, you've had a lot of success in your career as a defensive catcher and throwing out guys. I guess early on in the season, I know Boach was talking about this last night, the focus on holding runners and then maybe giving the catchers, as from a pitching perspective, an easier opportunity to be able to throw guys out because you've been stolen on more than usual early on this year. Well, what are those conversations like? How do you go ahead and correct that?
Yeah, it's just trying to find a solution to get these guys comfortable on the mound of being quick, but also we gotta try to control the clock. The clock brings a huge element into this, and guys are still adjusting, trying to figure it out. I think the biggest emphasis we have is the pitcher making a good pitch, trying to get the hitter out. So if we can combine all that, then we'll be just fine. But it's a learning process. We're all trying to figure it out. And, I think we're making good steps and good strides, so I think we'll be just fine.
Jonah Heim here with you on your home of the Rangers. Do you remember hitting a grand slam against Shohei Ohtani? What was that like?
I do. It seems like forever ago, but I mean, he's a great player, and you see he does something special each and every day. So, at the time it was just another homer, but pretty special looking back on it.
With the Dodgers coming in, with everything that they've done, being the champs and spending all that money and buying up all the players, do you guys like circle that on your calendars, or is that just going to be like another one of 162 as well next weekend?
No, it's just another game for us. They're a great team. They got a lot of great players, but honestly, we're just focused on today, and then when that comes, we'll be focused on that day. But there's a lot of good teams around this league, a lot of good players, so we're going to take each and every game and keep that same focus no matter what.
What are you grubbing on out in Chicago? You going deep dish? You hitting the Chicago Dogs? What's the move?
I don't want to stir any pots here, but I mean, I'm from Buffalo, so we like the. I'm a big thin crust pizza guy, so
there's nothing wrong with that. Yeah.
Now, being from Buffalo, how big of a Bills fan are you?
Huge, big Bills fan. Been all my life. A lot of misery. We get so close, and then just. Can never get across that big game, but I have faith, and maybe next year will be the year.
What do you want her to do in the draft?
I mean, you can never get too many weapons for Josh Allen, but also defense wins championships, so I don't think they can go in a bad route.
You've been in Texas long enough now. You know Texans love their ranch. So when you go out for wings, that's like a sin in Buffalo. Are you, are, have you gotten used to that? Or are you still like, what the hell are you doing asking for ranch?
No, actually, I am a ranch guy.
Okay.
Religiously, I don't like blue cheese. I know I'll take a lot of flack for that, but just something about moldy cheese I can't get far.
You won't get any flack here in the G-Bag Nation. We love that. That's fantastic. Now, from a Bills fan standpoint, the Mafia. Have you ever jumped off a Winnebago onto a table of fire?
No, I don't think they would like that too much. The Rangers organization would
probably
like that too much.
Well, so, you're a champion. Like, you should be going in there and sprinkling some of that Jonah Heim Texas Rangers championship dust on your guys. Maybe giving them a pregame speech in the locker room or something, Jonah.
Yeah, I've always tried to get up there, but Buffalo winners aren't my thing. I'd rather stay back in Texas.
A wise man.
Try to survive in negative degrees.
So when it comes to Higgy, I know Brian asked you about that relationship, but were you a little ticked off? You weren't in the starting lineup there for opening day?
No, I mean it is what it is. We're trying to win games, and Bochy makes the lineup, and he thought that was our best lineup to win. So I'm just going to take my opportunities whenever I get the chance, and Higgy deserved it. I mean, he had a really good spring, and we're trying to win every game, so that's what it shakes out to be.
So the lineup's not quite out yet, but if you were catching a pitcher for the first time maybe in your career, what goes into the preparations for that?
Yeah, you just kind of got to talk to the guy, see what he likes to throw, see how he likes to pitch, and then everything kind of comes down to the pregame bullpen, see what's working, see shapes of pitches, and then go from there.
Well, thanks, Jonah. Congrats on all your success. Thanks for the World Series run. That was amazing. We look forward to your next walk-off. And give him hell tonight. We'll be pulling for you.
Yep, absolutely. Thank you, guys.
There he goes. Jonah Heim, brought to you by Globe Life. For over 125 years, Globe Life has helped protect families when they need it most. Globe Life, make tomorrow better. Yes, it's always good. Every Tuesday, 3:20 here. Unless they have an earlier game. Like last week, we talked with Jack Leiter at 2:20. That was fun. But Jonah Heim and the Rangers getting set to visit the Cubbies here. Pregame's coming up at 6 o'clock tonight. As they were frozen out last night, 7-0, probably explode tonight. Message for Dak on his podcast here from Michael Irvin on the Joe Milton trade. Don't give this kid a chance, Dak. You better stay healthy, stay ready, and stay on the football field. Shades of LeSean McCoy there.
Yeah,
I was surprised to see that from the playmaker. I don't believe Milton will be a Dak replacement. I think it's a pretty long shot. But, I mean, watching the highlights from Milton, they're impressive. He's got better mobility, better arm cannon, right? The decision-making, I think, is something that doesn't pop up on film, but that's the biggest difference.
Yeah, just not a lot of experience there. And he's not always accurate. And that's the thing that they, you know, but if, you know, here's your hope that, let's see, you know, Ken Dorsey helped Josh Allen in Buffalo.
Sure did.
You got Ken Dorsey on your staff here in Dallas, and not as the, you know, quarterback coach or anything. I think it's like just an offensive assistant. So to me, maybe this is where Joe Milton gets to spend a lot of time with Ken Dorsey, and that they can work on, you know, some of the things. I've said this, when you watch Joe Milton throw, and I get it. I get why he has so much power to him. When he throws, he really steps into it. I mean, he's striding in that front leg, left leg, striding into it. And, I mean, that he's bringing the body, the arm, everything with him. And I'm interested.
Do you think he would de-emphasize that step and that lean forward and hopes, you know, of getting more accuracy?
Maybe that Ken Dorsey will try and balance him up a little better.
Huh.
And so that's – I think there's your hope right there that you did have some success. We had a lot of questions about Josh Allen and his accuracy, you know, and they were able to make some tweaks to his throwing motion in order for him to become a more accurate. Now, some of the decision making and stuff was crazy, you know. Josh Yeah. Allen still does some crazy things with the ball, but if you can harness that arm and have him with better body mechanics, Maybe you got something here.
Well, you know, he's a guy that I think is a great idea to speculate on. Fifth rounder better, for this better, guy who's yeah, got potential.
Better,
let's see.
Absolutely.
Better fifth round give away or send off a pick than pick somebody by like Riley Leonard or somebody like that that, you know, is not going to play or not going to help you.
He was asked about Dak. Somebody at .com got a quote on him, said, it's great. He's a great person. My second time meeting him, looks forward to learning from him. So, you know, looks like, you know, the other question here that I wanted to get you was, though, is he better than Will Greer? You know, now, I think that's the first thing I got to see going into Oxnard is could you be the clear backup?
No, I think he could beat Will Greer out. I think you could do a lot more with this guy than Will Greer. You know, Will Greer, there's some limits to his game, you know, the mobility, the arm talent. You might have hit on a guy that's got some similar traits to what Milroe, not the running aspect, but when you talk about the arm strength and things like that, the mobility in the pocket, the ability to elude. He doesn't have the speed or the burst to run away, but he does have the ability to move around and throw the ball on the move, and I think that's something that you have to take into account.
As of now, the player I'm most interested in watching in Oxnard, we'll see after the draft here in 2 weeks and 2 days. Our path to the draft coverage is brought to you by Pluckers. Join us at one of the Pluckers locations here in DFW for a draft night party. Clarence Hill tweeted that Agent Zero is returning. Stay tuned. It ain't about Rowdy anymore. Hook him.
No. There we go.
See, Chief was on this. I almost tweeted at him at Chill to say, hey, listen, we were talking about this last week, bro.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're late.
We're going to have to figure out, though, when we get to Oxnard or something, we got to get the backstory on why he was setting up like an April 3rd announcement and then it just never came.
He said he fell asleep.
Yeah, exactly.
Supposedly.
But he's awake now and there hasn't been a follow-up tweet on his account.
Interesting.
Just engagement farming for no good reason. Hey, you're DeMarvian Overshown, so you can do what you want. Just get back on the field, man. We love you.
Yeah, it's quite a cliffhanger there. Maybe we'll get the dramatic conclusion at some point here this offseason. Brian, Krusty's Corner's coming up next. Where are you taking us?
Yeah, I'm going to do another game with the 30 visits with Zach. Could we trade back with these players? Let's do that next.
Thank you, Lucius. Welcome back, Nation. Krusty's Corner in just a second. Champions League action. Arsenal now leads Real Madrid 3-0, 86th minute there. Declan Rice with two 30-yard free kick goals. Unbelievable strikes as they're up 3-0. This is the quarterfinal leg one of two in the Champions League. Bayern just equalized against Inter there in Germany. Here's Brian. Krusty's Corner brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning, gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. How about that? A 16 seconds on soccer leading for you, buddy.
How about that, man? I appreciate it. Thank you very much for that. You think we need to do something?
I get the obituary for the lead-in for mine.
Today, four people froze to death. Yeah. Let's go to Lucius Alexander in the pimp car.
How you feeling, Lucius? Come on down.
Rangers lose 7-0. Lucius, let's go to the pimp car.
Hello's frozen over.
Do you think we need to work on our wall placement? Or,
yes. Yeah. Guy on the outside wall in that first goal was a little chicken.
Did we turn
to the side and jumping in. I think he got behind the second guy.
Oh, really?
It's so tough.
We need to work on the placement of the wall, maybe the setting of the wall.
I mean, there was some pretty good English on it.
Or get some better.
Some more courageous wall pieces might have helped, but man, he whipped that thing around. It was pretty incredible.
Yeah. All right. Good deal. Champions League. We try and watch it when we're here.
Yeah.
But we kind of look at the final. Isn't that kind of where we're at, though?
Oh, yeah.
We always just kind of worry about the final. Right?
Yeah. Wake me up when we get to the final, I think, is typically the American approach to the Champions League. It's, you know, it's soccer's Super Bowl equivalent.
Yeah.
They haven't made it super easy to watch now with they've got on the streaming services.
Yeah.
So if we're here in the studio, unless it's like the final and they've got it on CBS 11, used to be when it was on FS1, you knew exactly where to get it.
That's a good
point. There needs to be some sort of a reckoning for sports fans. And, you know, I support everybody's ability to do what they want with their business, but their businesses are going to be in trouble. Like, it's getting harder and harder to find these games.
Yeah.
You need people to watch your games in order to justify it. So I think they'll get it figured out before too long, especially after that Diamond Sports thing last year. Where they were just like, we don't want to pay you guys anymore for these games, so we're done.
Can I ask one more soccer question, if you don't mind, here in the corner? When you're... I'll tell you one of the reasons why I do like watching soccer. I know exactly how long it's going to be on.
That is pretty cool, isn't it?
You just know, okay, there might be some stoppage time, you know, there might be, you know... But generally, you know exactly what your time commitment is.
We'll be in and out of here in 2 hours, yep. Max.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I kind of was just always like, okay, if I'm U.S. is playing tonight. All right. I know I need 2 hours to watch this thing.
Yeah.
You know, so, and soccer in general. So I do applaud for that. All right. Well, Chuck, I do need your help.
Okay.
Dawson,
what do we
Chief,
got?
You guys can do what you need to do.
Watch soccer. Take a leak.
Do, wow. Yeah. Watch all soccer. Right. Do what you have to do. No.
Rude.
I'm just kidding.
I'm going to Diet Coke.
Go, yeah, seriously. You got two of them right here. Absolutely. Go get you one. All right. Hey, Woolchuck.
Yeah.
Okay, we got these 30 visits. I think I got 16 names, yeah. Right? I'm going to run down these names for you, that what we have. And I know we've talked about, but I want to get your approach on this. Are the guys I'm going to give you, would you take at 12, or these trade back guys?
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I want to get your I want to go through them,
boom.
And I want you to tell me, guy you would consider at 12,
or we're backing out,
or we're trading back to get these guys. All right, you ready?
Yep.
How about Mimbu from Missouri?
I would take him at 12.
Okay. So that's a. No question for you right there.
Yeah, I think there's a risk involved if you want to move back. I don't know that you're going to get him. And I don't know that he's even going to be there at 12. So if you were and you value him like that, I think that he's a player you just need to stay put and you need to go ahead and take him.
So you would go ahead and take him at 12?
Yes.
I like what you did there. I think you're absolutely right, even though he might be gone beforehand. How about Pierce from Tennessee, who we've just learned?
That would be a back. I'll go ahead and trade back for Pierce.
He's edge from Tennessee.
And I don't know that he's going to go round one because of some of the off-the-field concerns with him. I also don't know if you can really line up and play with both him and Micah Parsons on the same defense. It is a very tantalizing thing to think of them rushing the passer together.
Mm-hmm.
It's also terrifying because I am going to line up and run right at both of them and say, prove you can stop me. And I don't think they can.
You just don't. You absolutely just don't.
He's 6'4", 245. He's an athletic freak. And he has a rare ability to get to the passer. The burst off the snap's explosive.
Yeah.
But he does get pushed around, and I worry about him being able to set the edge against the run.
Mykel Williams, the edge from Georgia.
For me personally?
Stay or trade back?
That would be a trade back.
Okay. And why?
I would stay in and take Mike Green. I just have other players that I like more than Williams. I think Williams is a good player. Physically, he's everything you want in an edge rusher. But right now, he is a better run defender than he is a pass rusher, which I'm cool with. This team struggled to stop the run. Mm-hmm. So I think that he is going to be a good player in the league. But can you develop some of the pass rushing traits with him? He does show the ability to win with some multiple rushes, the bull rush, the swim move. He's got some speed off the line. It's a little inconsistent. He flashed against Texas.
Mm-hmm.
You just don't see the pass rush ability consistently with him. But an outstanding player against the run, I would rather just try and get some more value, take him later on in the teens if I could.
We mentioned Hampton, the running back from North Carolina. Stand there and take him or trade back?
That's a trade back. It's a trade back for me. I think 12 is a little too high, a little too rich. I don't think I'd be considering any of the running backs besides Jentie there at number 12.
And he was a Dallas Day guy. I'm not including him in this list.
Sure.
But he would be a guy you would stand in there and pick.
And right? I like Hampton. I kind of like Travion Henderson and Caleb Johnson a little more.
Okay. And you look at Junkins and Henderson, who they both brought in as guys you would consider at 44, right?
Yeah. Now, Henderson might sneak into the first round because of the speed there. Some
right.
teams might like, oh, is this Jahmyr Gibbs? You know, but yeah, I'd love Henderson at 44.
Chet McMillan, wide receiver.
I'd stay in and pick him.
Okay. Is he one of your, how many of those guys would you have like that? I mean, just a no-brainer. Is he just a no-brainer?
He's a no-brainer for me. So I've got him as the fourth best player on my board.
So give me your top four then.
Top four for me, Travis Hunter, Abdul Carter, Ashton Jentie, Tet McMillan.
Wow, you got him in pretty high company there.
Yep.
Okay. How about Luther Burden, wide receiver, Missouri? Would you stand there and pick him at 12 or would he be a trade back for you guy?
That'd be a trade back for me. I do love the explosiveness. And I mean, I question a little bit about his ability to win down the field, the contested catches. I think he can do it. He did it 2 years ago. Last year, it was probably more quarterback play, and I'm unfairly putting that on him. But I just like Igbuka and Golden a little bit more than Burton. So I'd move back to try and see if I could get some more assets.
Okay, how about Igbuka, wide receiver from Ohio State? Stand there and take him at 12 or trade back?
I'd be fine staying and taking Igbuka at 12 personally. I think he's a safe player. I think he's helping you in the running game because him and Aominor out of Stanford, I think, are the two best blocking wide receivers. He's a tremendous route runner. I think he's going to be a good pro. But you probably could get him later. I think you could go ahead and trade back and still be able to get him. I mean, a lot of mocks have him going in the 20s. Hell, today, Mel Kiper had him going in the second round.
Why is that?
I don't know. I mean, maybe he doesn't. I think he does have the explosiveness.
Yeah.
You've seen him take screens and go 60 yards to the house.
Sure.
But for whatever reason, he's not being talked about in the same mold as a Golden or a Burden. I think he's a disservice to the player.
Do you think he's one of the most underrated players
yes.
in this draft?
Yeah, I do. I think it's because he's, and it kind of goes with really his entire career at college.
Yeah, he's disrespected because he's always been the number two.
He's
right?
always had to be second fiddle, but he's a 1A. He's not even a two. Okay. I love Igbuka.
Banks, the offensive tackle guard from Texas. Would you stand there and pick him at 12 or is he a trade back?
I'd personally trade back.
Okay. Reason?
I've just got some questions on him. I wouldn't mind the pick at all. It's offensive line. And he was a starter for a while at Texas, was very, very productive. He moves exceptionally well. He's a good athlete for that size. I've got Simmons and Will Campbell ahead of him. And Membu, 20 years old. I think he's a right side player already. You don't have to worry about that.
Sure.
Like, what are you going to do with Kelvin Banks? Are you kicking him over to right guard? Are you moving Tyler Guyton? I think I'd rather just go ahead and see it. If he slides to me, I'd feel great about it.
How about Walter Nolan, defensive tackle from Mississippi?
That's a trade back. I don't think Walter Nolan for me. I've got a two on him, and I've got a lot of other defensive tackles ahead of him. I think the Cowboys probably are big fans, and I could be so wrong about him. You see what scouts would love and coaches would love with the explosiveness, the ability to rush the passer and get upfield, but it is just it's too inconsistent for me.
How about Reville, the cornerback from East Carolina?
Had he not had the ACL, I'd stay at 12 and take him. I think he could be the best corner in the draft. But in this scenario, that would be a trade back. I think he's a target at 44 and he might be able to get there.
Do you feel like though that you worry about him with him coming off the knee the way it is and stuff like that?
I just don't know. And how long is he gonna take
guy?
Him? Yeah, exactly.
Him or Barron if you had to
Barron. I'd stay in at 12 and take Barron.
You would stay at 12 and take Barron. If in fact. Are you surprised they didn't visit Golden so far that we know about?
Yes, I am, considering they've met with all the other top receivers.
I kind of feel like, though, that Golden is still in the mix, even though if they don't visit him, by the way.
I mean, they were at the Texas Pro Day. Yeah. They probably got a little bit of info on him.
So you're pretty much, you're trade back in a lot of these scenarios. You're going to stay for Mimbau. You're going to stay for McMillan. You're going to stay for Igbuka. That's kind of where you're at right now in these 30 visits, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't disagree with you on some.
Yeah, you got to get a trade partner.
Yeah, so, no, absolutely, I mean,
hey,
absolutely.
It might be wishful
thinking. But those are the guys you're willing. If they brought in, if they pick one of those guys at 12, you'd be absolutely elated.
I'd be pumped.
Yeah, I think you're onto something there.
Well, thank you, boys.
Joe, thank you.
All right, there it is.
That's a bang up job, gentlemen.
Thanks, man.
Brought to you by Reliant Air
Conditioning. Enjoy your rest.
That was incredible, dude. I'm ready to throw heat now. Gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. Okay, speaking of throwing heat, Chief, you up next here?
Yes, we're Hodgepodge. We begin prepping our bodies for Masters Weekend. We have your viral sports clip of the day, plus a nefarious college sports prank goes awry next to the nation.